that was like a real explosion, cultivating the Indian community, who really turned to the manor, and all of a sudden, over a period of some years, the manor really became the focus of their place of worship. And then started the campaign. Campaign really started when did the Krishna Borough Council really lower the boom? '86, because it was 96 that we finally got Dharma. It was 10 years. Yeah. So on top of all of that, you know, Krishna Borough Council served an order that, you know, you can't have festivals, you can't have so many people, you can't have all of these things. And so we agreed on some type of, there was an agreement, right, that we could have six festivals a year, but it was limited. Sunday programs were limited. Noise was always being monitored, so-called noise. It was very, very tense. And we entered into a legal battle with, you know, one of the wealthiest councils in the UK. And that was to Akhandani Prabhu's eternal credit, both fighting it and winning it. And I remember there was sort of very tense times there, because how are we going to handle this? How are we going to actually do it? And I remember being in the theater once with it was patrons, some devotees. I don't know why we're in the theater. And the discussion was there, because at first we started the ISKCON way. We just asked some lawyer who we knew to donate their time to fight the case. And we're sort of, Akhandani was really the one who was managing everything, he knew everything. But, and I remember the patrons being there, and I remember they said, we're not going to win this case. Remember, they said, we're not going to win this case if we just have voluntary assistance, however well intentioned it may be, we need the best. And the Tantra says, we need to get the best lawyers. And of course, someone raised the question, who's going to pay for the best lawyers? And the answer came, I can't tell from, says, don't worry. He says, you just get it and we'll take care of it. And that was the patron's answer. We'll take care of whatever it takes. We'll take care of it to save a man. And it took £1 million. It's a lot of money now. A lot of money at that time. It took £1 million to fight the court case. And we got the best. Sir Graham Eyre. Sir Graham Eyre. Who was the best zoning QC in the country, very, very famous. And now that was not just him, but then we also got other David Altrans and their offices. And so they were, I remember, for instance, during inquiry, it was costing us £2,000 an hour. That was at the inquiry. It wasn't all the time. But their fees were like, you know, Graham Eyre's fees were like £500 an hour for every time we just talked to them. And it was a lot of Lakshmi. And that was very, very exciting. Graham Eyre was he was the one who got the permission for Heathrow 2 and 3. Both 2 and 3. And he came here, and he was very elderly, distinguished gentleman. And I remember once he wanted to know, okay, I want to know about Krishna consciousness. Give me some books. There's no problem here. They read fast. These lawyers, they like speak. You know, they got documents. When they're fighting case, they bring in documents by the truckload at the time. They have all the evidence and everything. And they know where everything is. Like these secretaries knows where everything is. But then he came back on another occasion. And anyway, you may have heard me say this before, but what he particularly liked was Prabhupada Lilamrita. And he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. He says, I don't know who it was, but we were there talking together with some of the senior devotees. He says, do you know what it takes to cross the ocean on a ship, on a rickety Indian ship, at age 70 years old? And of course we said yes. So he says, no, you don't. He said, you don't know. He says, when you're 70, then you may know. He said, I know. And he had such great admiration for Srila Prabhupada, just from reading Prabhupada Lilamrita. He didn't cut his prices. He had great admiration. And that was a real battle. One of the highlights of that battle was the March on Parliament. That took place in 1994. And it was historic because it was probably the turning point in terms of giving a message to not only now Hristi Borough Council, but actually the government, that national government, that here was a force to be reckoned with, and that 35,000 Hindus marched on Parliament. What was equally amazing was that 35,000 Hindus got together and agreed on one thing. more amazing. But of course it didn't happen. Just if it would have been Muslims, it would have happened a long time ago. In fact, someone was out here who was sort of giving us advice. We had so many dinners and so many politicians. And I remember one politician saying, You know why you're having this problem? Because you're Hindus. If you were Muslims, the government would never dare to do this to you. He said, so got the picture in, you've got to get organized. And that was an extraordinary event. It was really wonderful. I remember Keith Vaz was there, he was also speaking. And I flew from the GBC meetings in Mayapur back to the UK. For that, and that really sort of, in one sense, made the issue. Ultimately, the issue came out from inquiry, and ultimately went up to Parliament, and we got the decision to close the gate, build the rear access road, and that was 10 years. It was a 10-year battle, and in that 10 years. Many wonderful things were taking place. I mentioned then Krishna Dharma Prabhu and Chintami Dham went to Manchester, they opened a temple there. Tatikshu Prabhu went to Liverpool. Leicester was still going on, but then Punjabi Purush Prabhu may have left, but then Vishwambar was the president, and then and Scotland was really developing. Balavadrupu was in charge over there. That was also one of the financial bases of the UK Yatra, is that at a certain point the Scottish Yatra, which we got in Karuna Bhavan, which was just one building, they were financing UK to £20,000 a month, to the tune of £20,000. And that was going on for a couple of years. And then even to lesser amount. They were very, very, very generous. Where else? Wales. Wales. Who went out to Wales with a big London bus? My God, brother. No, it was... What's his name? Rasamanda had this double-decker London bus that he made into Fiji. We went out to Wales, but it ended up starting out the Welsh Yatra from there. There was a center there, quite a few devotees. Now Taraknath Prabhu is in charge. So those that was taking place at that time. And then Birmingham. That was
Govinda Bhakta.
Yeah, remember Vishuddha Sattva, his previous name, Govinda Bhakta. And he started Birmingham. Coventry, Haridas Prabhu got Coventry, that place that serves as our temple there on the edge of this park, if you've ever been there. That was like a Krishna's mercy, 15,000 pounds. And so temple started opening throughout UK. Newcastle, Divya Singha went to Newcastle first. And then from him, Bhaktiras took over. So these were the centers, and to all intents and purposes, they're still there. Part of the dynamic of the UK was that when all the devotees came to the manor really became and still is the center of the UK Yatra, but which is good in many sense and in many ways. The manor really enjoys a lot of benefit from that. It was always a problem for the smaller centers. All the devotees that they would make at the smaller centers, where there were no deities and no big group of devotees and so on, they always gravitated to coming down to the manor. It was a constant source of conflict, but frustration. Our management at that time became from Jayatirtha's time, and Bhagwan also maintained quite a centralized system. Then it became sort of decentralized. Although Srila Prabhupada originally set up one trust, one charity in the UK in 1969, generally Srila Prabhupada's idea was the temple should be independent, they should stand on their own feet, and they should be encouraged to develop on their own. So as sort of a rebound off of that type of centralization over a period of a good 10 years almost, then there became an intense regionalization, and which is unfortunate because some of the benefits of that, namely the cooperative method of making devotees, which was really extraordinary. Soul Street Manor, Chaitanya College. Of course, there was no Chaitanya College, but still, that cooperative method of working together. Even Sankirtan book distribution was never really as good. Although, right up, I think, up until around 96, 97, things were really, really doing well. UK Yatra was competing with Germany, Switzerland for yearly book distribution scores, Christmas marathons, a lot of books were going out. And I went to Hungary. Somehow Harikesh Prabhu, who's the GBC, official GBC, found out that I was of Hungarian origin, and he talked me into going there. And from that time, I started to go. The UK Yatra was, by around 1988, 89, actually, financially, things were sort of on a keel, or getting on a keel. I'd say maybe by 1990, things were actually... Scotland didn't have to be bailing out the UK, paying for Silver Street's mortgage payments. more or less everyone started to stand on their own feet. There were different temple presidents at Soho's feet, Rancho Prabhu, Kesha Bharti Maharaj, Bhagavata Shraya Prabhu, who else?
Dial Nitai.
Damodar came, was here at a certain point, Akandari Prabhu. When did Akandari go to Buckland? My opinion, it was a shame, it was a great loss. He was very, very dedicated to the manor. He was one of those people who really, really dedicated. There was a lot of community attrition at that time, and I think that contributed mostly to his wanting to be out of the firing line, where anyone knows that if you're living at the manor, what to speak of, if you're managing or if you're temple president, you're fair game for anything from anyone. And as Akandari Prabhu once told me, that you really got to be thick-skinned. It was good advice he gave me. He says, you got to be thick-skinned here. It was a loss. I think that was one of the major losses to the UK Yatras, having Akandari Prabhu not here at the manor. He's a real genius, very, very, very brilliant person. And I think he really sort of made his mark in Srila Prabhupada's book by winning this case. That was the type of thing when Prabhupada would really note if someone really, and he really fought. He organized and fought. So I was telling him that I'm sure his ticket back to Godhead is guaranteed by that service alone. There was very, very, very nice dynamic in that period of time between devotees and Bhagavata Sharpa, who was at Silver Street. Kesha Bharti Maharaj was also there making devotees. Akandari Prabhu was here, Bhagavata was up in Scotland. There was many devotees involved. Kripamoy Prabhu was doing congregational preaching. It was a very nice team. I'll tell you a dream I had. I don't really talk about dreams, and this was in Manchester, and I didn't have a motorhome at that time. I was still a trailer. Caravan that you pull with a car. And Krishnanarka later suggested, this is a waste, two different things, why don't you just get a motorhome? And that's when I started getting motorhome. And from there, from 1980 up until 97, for about 15 years, I just lived in a motorhome. There was one period of time when I lived for a year here at the manor, upstairs. I fixed up that room, make it habitable. And then a little I stayed for a couple of months up in upstairs. When it wasn't possible, it wasn't allowed, you couldn't stay here in anything on the parking lots or anything. That was like taboo with the council. And anyway, I was in the camper, Manchester, parked outside the temple, which is where I used to travel in that period of time when I was the GBC, from around 87 through to around, for about 10 years. I traveled around the country probably 5-6 times a year, and I was constantly on the move. And that was in Wally Range, if you know Wally Range. And what's the name of the street? Mayfield Road. And at that time, if you had a camper out on Mayfield Road, just all the prostitutes are out on the corner and they walk the streets. So you got a camper there, they come, knocking on the door. constantly. And anyway, but it was parked up outside, and I had this dream, and the dream was here at the manor, and it was deities, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Radha Gokul Nanda, and they sort of came to life. But particularly Lord Ramachandra. And this was, it was sort of more of a dream. It was really alive. And Radha Gokul Nanda weren't saying anything, but Lord Ramachandra started talking. And I can't remember all the details anymore. I usually write down my dreams, it's written down. But one thing that he really said, he said, if you cooperate together with your godmothers and you work together, then the preaching will be very successful. And then he pointed to Gokul Nanda, and Gokul Nanda will be very pleased. And then I woke up, and this whole caravan, it was like glowing. I didn't know where I was, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I really felt, particularly Lord Ramachandra's presence was so overpowering, so I was just like wired up all day. I didn't move. I was just sitting there in the corner chanting my rounds. And that cooperative spirit was very, very good. It was actually what really saved the UK Yatra, and it was something different than what happened before. There was a Jayatirtha Prabhu who came after, I think Hamsaduta was there before, right? And he dropped the ball. And then there was a Bhagavan who came in, and he dropped the ball. But actually, now there wasn't anyone coming in from outside, there was no Messiah. It was just the devotees of the UK Yatra who were really doing the needful, taking the responsibility. And things happened. Things really moved along, and things developed. I'm going to start winding up. But at that point, I also started to get a little distracted. From 1990, from 87, I started going to Hungary. There's nothing going on there. It was I finally made use of my wig from my Chicago days, because that's how I had to go in at that time, in Carmi clothes, because it was only in 89 that the entire Russian regime crumbled. And for 2 years, everything was incognito, with just little programs here and there. Sometimes devotees braved going out into the square in Carmi clothes and having kirtan, but it was more like people took it as a fad. They didn't know what it was. But then in 89, things really exploded. It was like an extraordinary, it was an explosion. Here are all these people who had been suppressed for the last 40 years of communist reign since the end of the Second World War. And they didn't know, they didn't have television, they didn't have drugs. In Hungary, if you didn't work, they threw you in jail. There was no such thing as unemployment. And that was going on everywhere in USSR. It was very... There was no sense gratification. There was nothing. So I always regret that if ISKCON would have been organized, we could have really made massive inroads at that time. And that's how all of these wealthy, what they call nowadays the Russian oligarchs and all these people, they just snapped up what was at that time communal property that the governments were just dropping. They bought them for pittance, and they became billionaires. And things like buying property at that time, it was like nothing. Even our farm at that time, we were purchasing... which was sometime later, that was in 93 already, we purchased land at, well, in present currency, it's sort of absurd, but it's at about 20 pounds an acre, that's present. But at that time, that was more like about 100 pounds an acre. And as much as you can buy, I just sort of stopped when we came to like... 150 hectares, which is about 400 acres. So what are we going to do with all this land? It would have been much more wise to buy more. And I think that sometime in the future, when China opens, Fiscon's really ready for that day to just walk into that 1.2 billion people who are real readers. We could be. I always dream of that, you know, standing on the street corner in China and some Bogotoms. Like what they did in Russia, those, and they were advertising on the subways, and devotees were standing there, and we had the phenomenal book distribution, and people were just coming up and buying Bhagavad Gita. It was a very, very exciting time. So things exploded, and I started getting into a dichotomy that I couldn't give enough time to Hungary, and I couldn't give enough time to the UK. So at a certain point, I felt like I needed to decide either one or the other. And especially since I was traveling in this motorhome, and at that time, first I had Gaur Prabhu was my first assistant and driver. After him was Madan Gopal, and who died, not driving or anything. And then was Tabi Manu. And around 96 or 97, that's when I think sold the motorhome. But I was traveling back and forth from the UK to Hungary. 1 month there, 1 month here, 1 month there. I can drive blindfolded from here then. Although I wasn't driving. I was either studying or usually resting. Tabi Manu was the only person I trust to drive, and I'd sleep in the back. The longer he drove, the more awake he got. And so at a certain point, when was it, 2004, 2005, that Prakosh became the GBC? Something like that. Carrying on to 10 years. So Prakosh Prabhu, I knew very well. I encouraged the GBC to take him on as a GBC member. He was a GBC just for Ireland at that time. So Ireland, I really sort of pulled out of. That was also something else that I had difficulty in shouldering, especially overseeing the care of the deities there. And so then I moved. Then I moved there, and at that point I stopped officially being the GBC. Or I come once a year, and then when I come, I'm here, and then they introduce me, and every time they introduce me, I think, wow, I'm a real stranger here, I need an introduction. But it was a very, very nice, very exciting 25 years, more or less. Wasn't what I thought I was getting involved in when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I thought I was just chanting Hare Krishna and being happy. Yes, I remember I sort of started developing a nervous condition at a certain point when we had certain, at that time, life members who decided that life members were actually, should be the legal voting members of the company, of the charitable company of ISKCON UK, and therefore they should decide everything. In other words, it was a takeover. And that was the first time in my Krishna conscious career that I couldn't sleep at night. I really knew something was wrong because I never had any problem sleeping. And but anyway, that worked out. That was a real adventure. It worked out by having to actually get in touch with the original trustees, Gurudas Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, and all of them. And there were a lot of course, the most wonderful part of it all was devotees, associating with devotees. I haven't mentioned many devotees' names. Devotees who, as I mentioned, something like that, someone who. And even sometimes we see devotees have sort of, difficulty, just like, for instance, Balabhadra Prabhu, he's sort of living isolated in Stirling, I think up there. But, he was another person who was an unbelievably generous person, And for many years, the Scottish Yatra really just sort of worked to assist the UK Yatra and get back on its feet. You know, sort of Sankirtan leader. So I mentioned Bhagavatshraya, he's here. He's up in Nottingham. That's right. And then we have Nottingham Namhara. And then Namhara, the whole Namhara concept started to develop. That started off with Amita Prabhu and friends.
Folk.
Started off with folk, friends of Lord Krishna. And, devotees are our asset. Devotees are the main thing. And over time, unfortunately, you see a lot of things. Radha Gokulanda are here. They're as effulgent as ever. They weather the storm. They continue to smile. And although no doubt they're not necessarily happy by everything that happened, but devotees go through, devotees see many things. Srila Prabhupada, one letter talks about that to think that Krishna consciousness is going to be a utopia, he says. I think he says it's impersonal. He says, don't think like that. Yeah? Yeah, it's not... Go ahead, Maharaj.
Yeah. Utopia.
Yeah. It's chant and be happy. As long as you're chanting, you're happy. And chanting is really the only thing that gets us through. But there's a lot of water under the bridge. And what really shows is, in fact, I remember this very, very nice Vyas Puja offering that Bhagwan wrote, ironically. And it ended by... I'm just sort of paraphrasing. He says that time will tell who stayed and who was left behind. And that's what really, I think, is the currency by Srila Prabhupada's and their lordship's favor is that whatever happens, and so many things are going to happen in the material world, the devotees remain dedicated, and whether they are, whether they're patrons or full-time devotees, or book distributors, or gurukul teachers, cooks, ladies, men, remain committed to seeing Srila Prabhupada's mission take hold and really manifest in the way that he wanted to see it manifest here in the UK. Prabhupada said many times there are casualties in the war. It's a statement. That doesn't mean that people don't lament the casualties. We lament the casualties, and the casualties are also remembered. And just like in the material world, they have, of course, they erect monuments and they remember those who did actually fall in Krishna consciousness. Of course, Krishna remembers, and that's different. It's much more powerful. It's much more potent. So it's wonderful when actually devotees continue on, and they say, "This is my Prabhudatta Desh." And there are some examples, you know, devotees. Here's Shruti and Prana. They're like, you know, they're like tar babies. You can't shake them up. and other devotees who have stayed throughout the years and who continue to stay and remain dedicated. Srila Prabhupada really liked that when devotees were very dedicated, where they stuck to their service. In this one conversation, what is asking Srila Prabhupada, how should we take dreams of Krishna? The devotee's idea was, you know, when you're dreaming about Krishna, how should we take that? And Srila Prabhupada just sort of changes the whole conversation, and he says, dream, the important thing is service. What are you doing? And that you continue with your service. In other words, you may have a dream, you may not have a dream, but ultimately if you do your service, then Krishna consciousness will really become a reality. Krishna, the holy name, Parampara, will give their blessings. And so Arjun stuck it out, as unpleasant as it may have been, as many soldiers as fell on the battlefield, as much heartache as may have been involved, even in fighting against Bhishma Dev. It seems like a type of phenomena that we have in ISKCON, that those people who are your Bhishma Devs, they end up your grandparents, or you end up fighting with them sometimes on the battlefield. You have to face them, and we do that sometimes. Devotees come out with different types of over the years. Actually, ISKCON UK was the home of Ritva philosophy. It's no credit to ISKCON UK, but this is really so where it took birth. Krishna Kantasai. I remember when we had our Sankirtan house over in Watford, and him sitting with me sometime around in 1986 and talking about Kant Prabhupada, really, and he was still a university student. Kant Prabhupada just really be the guru, the initiating guru. So no, we can't be the initiating guru. And since then, and that's one way that sometimes devotees get off on a tangent in terms of philosophically, and then one has to do battle with them. And Hare Krishna, anyway, there's lots of history there. Someone should always be writing a book. There should always be actually a history, of, at least we should have a history of ISKCON UK, where everything's recorded, because people forget. People forget. When I was writing this book, Navaraja, and I was trying to get the date when I brought the deities from London to Budapest, devotees had forgotten. It was only like 12 years had gone by, but devotees had already, and everyone had different opinions. When did Raja Shyam come? When did I bring Dorni Thai? I had my office up there. It used to be my office, and and at that time when I got the deities, Radhapad in India, this is a Bengali gentleman, he sponsored many deities around this time. He also sponsored both Gorni Thai and Radhisham from Hungary, and so Radhisham and they sat for 2 years on that window ledge over there in the office, in my office. Unless things are written down, don't trust anything to memory. And it's such an important thing, actually. It's important for the sake of records. It's important for the sake of history, so that we can actually learn from history and see, no, that's already been done before. Don't do that. We already learned from that. And many good things, many mistakes. And so that we also don't forget the Vaishnavas who have actually, in due course of time, giving their whole lives. That's a fortune, and that's a wonderful thing, where you can actually give your whole life to Srila Prabhupada's service. Just recently, you had Jiva Pati leave his body, and that's a wonderful thing, that in the service of the Lord, one is able to just serve throughout his life, and then at the end of that, then Srila Prabhupada, that was a very, very beautiful quote that Mother Kalangana gave the other day, where Srila Prabhupada was the 81st birthday, and she was quoting Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and you said, Prabhupada said, I'm begging you, right? And Prabhupada said, I'm begging you all to chant 16 rounds a day and you will get all perfection. That was very touching. Prabhupada said, I'm begging you all to chant 16 rounds a day. And anyway, I still keep coming back every year because I have so many devotees who I know here and who I have both responsibility to, friendship with, connection. Hopefully, I'll be I'll put in my resignation, so I'll no longer be a GBC in 2 years. Now, I'm trying to convince the devotees in Hungary that with my health issues, it should be even faster than that. And then to have a little more time. I wouldn't travel anywhere else, but if I travel anywhere, I'd come here. England is the best place for preaching. Again, there are different reasons I came to England. Just the fact that it's so geographically small, you've got almost 60 million people condensed in this relatively small geographic area. These people have all had connection with India for 250 years. There's, you know, you have Diwali and the House of Parliament and the Downing Street. It's an unprecedented facility. And it's just working together. Srila Prabhupada said, if we really cooperate together, then it can really happen. And cooperate together, I don't mean just the management council, they're a very cooperative group. But even what we call the community, it can be very uncooperative sometimes. Sometimes it's a community that has very little in common. So I don't know how it becomes a community if things are not in common, common threads, but that type of cooperative work, which Srila Prabhupada would always say, yes, requires a head, requires heads, requires management, requires leaders to follow, and ultimately becomes extremely, extremely productive. I think with the Prachetas, that's where in the Bhagavatam Prabhupada said that when the Lord sees the devotees working cooperatively, he gives them the blessings. So I think that's enough. I mean, there's a lot. I'm sorry if things are sort of a little disjointed and not chronological. And as I'm talking, a lot of things come up. But I hope it helped sort of at least painted some of a picture of my experiences. One of the most nicest of which was the year 1984, when in this country, for 2 weeks, it did not rain and the sun shone. For me, that was great. It was a national disaster. They had like a little guard out. Everybody was out there. There was no water to drink and so on. But yes, I remember that was when I came to the UK. I remember I was here for a while, and then once I was coming from Chaitanya College to the Manor, and I stopped. We stopped somewhere with a caravan. And I said, "Is something wrong here? Something unusual." I just wasn't used to it. And I just realized the sun was shining. And that I've been here for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and the sun hadn't shone in all that time. Now, for the first time, I was seeing the sun again. That was an extraordinary time. It was a wonderful place. If you ever go to Chaitanya College, then you see the pictures in there. I had many a night in my dreams preaching to the ghosts who lived in those pictures. And they were for real. They were for real. But at least I... And Hare Krishna. Anyway, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Ramachandra ki jai.
We have some time for questions.
Really?
Can you start Prasadamurti
served till 9:30? No, it's Jai Dwayne, I think. He's been coming and going here since.
He was running the BBT, if I remember, because I was working with him at Chaitanya College.
I remember. Yeah. I remember. in Chicago, getting a call from Jaitirtha Prabhu saying, Jai Dwayne Maharaj is coming to England to give a seminar. And I picked you up at one terminal, took you to another, you just checked in, coming on to England. Do you remember that? That must have been in 78, something like, you came from L.A.?
We were in Vrindavan together. And I'd been in Philadelphia, West Coast. And I was, at that time, quite dissatisfied. I was editor of BTG at that time. I was staying in Philadelphia on the East Coast of America. And I was very dissatisfied. Those were the great Sahul Guru days. And it was weighing on my mind, Sasu Marsh used to say, that I had a cloud permanently installed over my head. And then I was in Vrindavan for the annual festival, and you and Indradumna Maharaj and Kesha Bharati Maharaj and maybe Govinda Maharaj, you all canvassed me. What are you doing there? You're just rotting and stewing, and we're having a great time over here spending each minute.
Really? I can't remember that.
I said, well, I have responsibilities and this, blah, 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 and anyway, you talked me out of it. So that's when I came over to the UK first. And what I recall is that I spent a lot of time at Soho Street at that time. Maybe Kesha Bharati Maharaj was still there, or maybe he moved on to Spain by that time.
No, he was there.
He was still there. So we used to both have a great time. All the people who were moving in and out of Soho, there were so many people to talk to, so many people to speak about Krishna consciousness to. So I was parked there for quite some time. And then I was also involved with BBT matters. Not so much here in the UK, but in Italy, in Greece, in Israel, because here things were going on. But in most places, they didn't really, Italy, of course, was coming on. But Israel and Greece, they didn't need a lot of help. And Italy, I used to put in my two bits. And I became, at Spain, I was informed there. So I was traveling around sometimes, and sometimes I remember at least. They needed, for typesetting, everything was done on a computer. So they needed computers, oh, in the Netherlands, also Amsterdam. So they needed computers there to do their typesetting in the Netherlands, in Greece. And computers those days, they had these portable computers, which were this big, one compact, big metal boxes. And I remember I used to carry them over to these countries without regard for formalities, government formalities, and just bring these machines over on a ferry and work with the devotees there and getting things going. And I used to be involved in all sorts of this and that. But then I used to come back here and be preaching here. I never spent much time at the manor, really. I just used to kind of come and do a class or something, but it was more based at Soho Street.
Chaitanya
College also I visited a few times, but I never really stayed at Chaitanya College more than a night or two nights or something like that. My religious degree was there. travel with, who was it? And they were doing college programs. She was British and he was American.
Atlanta.
We used to travel to college programs in Bristol and Bath and here and there. I remember we passed through Chaitanya College in one of his last days after he decided to sell it. I remember I looked at it and so his daddy says, as soon as they sell it, they'll want it back. We have encountered, we have a corresponding disaster in New York City, so sympathize. But we prevented Spain. I remember it was kind of just a detail of it, at that inquiry, what was it called? A public inquiry. And the QC for the other side was Miss Elizabeth Appleby, who was straight out of Central Casting. She was fantastic. She was a little older, with, you know, just the right amount of gray hair to be distinguished, and these sort of square steel-rimmed glasses that perched far down on her nose, so that she could give piercing looks at the people that she was interrogating. And she's interrogating really a kind of thing. What's his civil name?
Martin
Fleming. And Mr. Fleming, how many people do you get on Jambashtami? Well, we get about the next number of people. And where do all those people park? Well, we have an arrangement with the farmer next door, and he allows us to, we pay a small fee, and he allows us to park the cars there. And what would you do, Mr. Fleming, if he were to refuse permission? If he were no longer to grant permission for you to park your cars on Janmashtami? And Kaladi gave this sort of apologetic and sort of defeated sort of look. He said, well, I guess that would be a serious problem. And she did this sort of triumphant aha. But what she didn't know was that that morning we'd signed the deed on the property and we owned it. But Kennedy was perfectly poker faced.
I remember Govinda Maharaj actually was here in UK for, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months, something like that, in Manchester.
Well, I don't think I was here at the same time as Govinda Maharaj was, but I spent a lot of time in Soho with Bhagavad Ashraya. He was so great. He was fantastic to work with. He was just a pleasure. He used to provide so much facility, and he'd run interference when the ladies got too close, the visiting ladies, there were some highly motivated visitors.
He was a very, he was an actor.
Yeah.
He was a professional actor. When, I just remember when I was small, you know, my father would do this trick, is that, you know, he would, like, by standing by, he would turn around and instead of walking out the door, he would, like, walk into the door. So when I told Bhagavad Ashraya that, he sort of remembered that, and then every time either we were in an argument or sometimes he didn't feel good, then he would do that trick. The last 60 years, whenever I see that, I laugh. So he's still, but he does it better than my father did. Tribhuvanath Prabhu was also one of the devotees who came back.
I remember Tribhuvanath, the last time I came to the manor, and, you know, his diagnosis was there, and his time was measured. I said, Tribhuvanath, how are you doing?
I'm going to die.
You know, like it's going to rain on Tuesday.
I'm going to die.
Completely.
Remember, he was coming in because the devotees always think of him with great affection, and he was a very, very wonderful, charismatic person. And he was still working outside, and he started coming around Seoul Street and bringing his daughter. All I remember is this super curly haired little daughter, and sometimes I'd meet see him. And I remember once sitting with him in the restaurant, and he said, "I have to move in." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "I need to take it seriously now." And I said, "Why?" He said, "I had a dream. Prabhupada came to me. He said, if you don't move in now, I can't help you any further." To me. And that was his, he did his swan song. It was long for quite how long? Huh? 15 years?
I remember I ran into him one time. I was traveling to Kenya or someplace. He was traveling between Tanzania and somewhere, and on this bus that was breaking down. It was like jolly. Very much appreciated. A lot of people who influenced.
I remember. Bang on a drum. Prabhupada said, "He can't play mridanga, but he's very enthusiastic." All right, time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
We'll take this opportunity to thank both Jay Vedaswami and Shivram.